It is not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man, and today to the woman, who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error or shortcoming, but who knows the great devotions, the great enthusiasms, who spends himself in a worthy cause, and who, in the end, at the best, knows the triumph of high achievement, and who, at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, that his name shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat.
Welcome to The Dreamer's Moment, a segment of the Recapturing the Future podcast by Dreamer's Empire. Here we showcase dreamers, people who are pursuing a dream and trying to change the future.
Hey folks, this is Chris Lucas, author of the upcoming book, The Top 100 Top 10 of Disney, and you're listening to The Dreamer's Moment, where everyone has a dream.
Among people who pursue Disney with the kind of passion our guest has, there is a common thread. The Disney community tends to come after their talents, and soon they are involved in all kinds of things. As co-host of the Disney Film Project podcast, Todd Perlmutter is also CTO at The Disney Driven Life and a contributing blogger at touringplans.com. Todd, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dean. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us. Now, remind me, where are you living exactly?
I live in the Central Florida area. I don't want to be too specific, sorry.
That's fine.
But I live about 35 minutes from Disney World.
Oh, nice. Okay, so not so close that it, you know, at least it feels like a little bit of a trip when you go there.
Yeah, no, it feels like too much of a trip.
One of my guests said that he lived 1 minute from Disney. I didn't know that was possible.
Nice.
So our first questions that we usually ask is, what is your favorite Disney park and your favorite attraction, and if you have a favorite Disney restaurant?
Ooh, okay, wow. Let's see, so my favorite park, I would definitely go with Epcot. I just, you know, here's the thing, is when I was first introduced to Magic Kingdom, I was young, okay? Mm-hmm. But I have these really good family memories, hanging out with my brother at Epcot and stuff like that. You know, like one of my, to this day, I remember is, you know, when you're up by where Captain EO is right now and they have the jumping water.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my brother and I being like, you know, like 8 and 11 years old, just jumping in front of the water, getting completely soaked and, you know, our parents getting upset at it. But, you know. Enough kids still do that, so I think it's the proper way to handle those water streams.
Well, I think that is just a fun area right there, is with the upside down waterfall and just all the vegetation.
Yep.
It's so beautiful right there.
Let's see, favorite all time attraction. So let me ask this question: what are you defining an attraction as?
Oh, that's a good question, because we got into the debate as to what, like, whether Illuminations or something like that would be included, but I think we're kind of. Well, I'll leave it up to you. I would say a ride.
A ride. Okay. So, that makes it really hard. Wow. Favorite ride. There's so much I like to ride. You know, I could be really like cheesy and just say something like Spaceship Earth, but I feel that's kind of like the given Disney geek answer to say something like Spaceship Earth. I mean, if I'm going to pick something in Epcot, believe it or not, I really like to stand in front of the Fountain of Nations and watch it play something like the Rocketeer theme.
Oh, yeah.
To me, but again, like, if we're looking for a ride, do I have to stay in my favorite park necessarily?
Oh, no, not at all. As a matter of fact, you can go to Disney Paris if you want to.
I wish I could.
I hear you.
I didn't come prepared for this answer beyond that. Let's see. Can I go like park by park? Would that be fun?
Oh, sure. We've done top five before, so you go with whatever
okay.
you want.
Well, I'm a big Splash Mountain fan just because I love the whole combination of a water ride that's a musical ride as well. Mm. I think that's a ton of fun. Let's see. If I went to Animal Kingdom, let's see. I'm thinking. I'm not sure. I mean, like, you know, the safari, I guess. I mean, it's really not... I like Everest a lot. It's a great roller coaster, but it's not a favorite ride kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to go studios, I love the Great Movie Ride. I know, like I said the thing about Spaceship Earth, but you know what I really love about the Great Movie Ride is that looking for the changes that pop in every once in a while, the film that's at the end of it.
Huh. They okay. do? I didn't know that. I thought it was always the same.
Oh, no, it progresses over time, and, like, when they release, like, a whole new swath of movies, they put new stuff in the end of it. And, let's see, that leaves, what did I do, Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, oh, Epcot, right, sorry.
Right, your favorite.
I have to get back around to it. Let's see, my wife and I really enjoy going on Test Track together.
Oh, yeah.
We really do, so...
Were you around, it's a question we ask a lot, for the older Horizon, the one that replaced World of Motion?
Yeah, so I used to take my spring breaks down in Disney World. So yeah, I'd been in both World of Motion and Next Door Horizons.
Oh yeah, and so which would you choose between World of Motion and Test Track?
Oh, so see, I wish I actually really like Test Track better than World of Motion, though. I am one of those people who actually kind of sort of digs the World of Motion song, despite how repetitive it is.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. Now, but you did mention Horizons, and
yep.
you know, that's my all-time favorite. And if it came to between Mission Space and Horizons, there's not much of a debate on that one for me.
No, I'd give up Mission Space in a second. Not that Mission Space is as terrible as I think people make it out to be.
Mm.
Just I think there were it's really hard to understand that Horizons was taken away when Wonders of Life sits next door doing not much of anything.
Right.
You know, and Horizon, and I mean, Mission Space could have gone there instead.
Oh, yes. That's a great point. I never thought of that. And I did like Wonders of Life. I liked the Body Wars. I didn't like Body Wars. In fact, I got sick on that ride. But I did like the Cranium Command.
I like Cranium Command a lot, too. I missed that ride.
That was hilarious. And you haven't mentioned a restaurant yet.
Oh, wow. Favorite restaurant. Well, my wife and I are really big fans right now of Sanaa.
Now, you're the second person who's mentioned that. Remind me where that is.
That's in Kadani, part of Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and you go in the main entrance, and then there's a staircase, and then you go down the staircase and towards the back, and then it's right there.
It's and upscale, it's, right?
It's what?
It's expensive, right?
No, it's medium high. It's not. You're thinking of Jiko, which is at Jumbo House, and that's the more expensive restaurant.
Okay, I still want to get to Bulma's, and I had a reservation once, but we canceled, and I'm assuming that's pretty good too.
I like Bulma a lot. If I were you, I would hope to have that. It was a night they had the oxtail soup.
Oh, really?
And yeah.
Doesn't sound great, but.
Well, no, you got it. But you got it. If you're going to go to a restaurant like Bulma, you have to broaden your horizons a little bit. That's what I'm going to say. Because if you're a meat and potatoes guy, I would actually suggest not going to Bulma.
Oh, I like weird things. My favorite is sushi, and I'll eat squid and most anything. So I'd try to like it.
Well, it's a very flavorful restaurant. A lot of different spices going on. So there's a lot to explore.
Oh, nice.
There's something else I was going to say in there, but. We're all good.
Sorry. I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you one question, or did you remember it?
No, keep going.
Okay, this is just came off the top of my head, but I think it would be an interesting question, and I'm going to ask people that like the Great Movie Ride. That movie at the end, you know, there's got to be, you know, hundreds of clips in there.
Yeah.
Name the one movie that comes to your mind first from that.
All right.
Very first.
Thinking. Well, there's a lot of So I'm a huge Gone with the Wind fan, and I love, you know, so that scene reminds me of a lot. I mean, there's so many other things that are in there. You know what gets me more than anything else? I cried during that movie. I know this is going to sound really weird, but here's the thing. There are so many people up there that have come and gone that were powerful, powerful performances. And because I studied film in school, a lot of it is very meaningful to me. So, you know, it's I can sit through that and name most of the movies as you're going through it, you know, like starting with the Great Train Robbery, the original Ten Commandments are in there, and then you go to the new Ten Commandments and you go through all sorts of things. Movies that I question why they're even really in there, because I don't really think they represent necessarily Hollywood very well, but, you know, things like that. So,
and what I was going to say is the one that comes to my mind first always, and I don't know why, and it's like my least favorite, well, one of my least favorite, is Tootsie. Every time I think of that, I think of that moment, and I don't know why. It's like the music hit a crescendo there or something, but I think, why couldn't I think of a better movie? But that's the one that always comes to mind first.
Okay.
Well, since you studied film, how about a favorite Disney film? And I guess some people always ask me, does that include Pixar or not? And I would say yes.
Okay, so if it includes Pixar, then I have an answer.
Okay.
You may or may not have noticed, but I just this past weekend updated the icon for my podcast.
I think I noticed.
Yeah, and we actually put all our favorite films as the film clips that are sitting behind there.
Mm-hmm. And I think I know one of them.
Okay.
But
so, I'll go through them really quick. So, Ryan's is in there, and Ryan's is from Curse of the Black Pearl. Mm. Okay, mine is in there, which is Incredibles.
Mm-hmm.
Brianna's is in there, okay, which is Little Mermaid. Okay, and Cheryl's is in there, and her current reigning favorite is I Meet the Robinsons.
Oh, really? Okay. That's the first I've ever heard that.
Well, she really likes it. It really means a lot to her, and I can completely understand that. I mean, it used to be Happiest Millionaire until we did the podcast on it, and then she realized that it was actually – the real story is a little too sad for her to make it her favorite anymore because she likes the happier movies. And then we also additionally put Snow White in there because that's the first.
Okay.
Right? The first Disney movie. And then we put we currently put Rocketeer in there because that's our theme song, but that slot will be changing in the future. I'm not going to give it away, but if people think about the podcast, they might be able to figure it out.
Okay, you're not going to have a contest to guess it?
No. It would be, if you listen to the podcast enough, you can probably guess what it's going to be. I would put it this way: the movie doesn't have any good stills yet.
Good stills? Oh dear, it's not clicking for me. Okay, well, I wouldn't say it anyway because I don't want to reveal it.
That's fine.
All right, so you recently did the Disney Dream, didn't you?
I did. It was my birthday cruise.
Oh, and what was it like?
So this was my second time on the Dream. And it was actually Cheryl's third time because she went on Lou's cruise earlier in the year without me, Lou Mangiello.
Yep.
And it was this time, instead of rushing and doing all the shows, we actually avoided all the shows and just did it ourselves, and it was my birthday. So my birthday basically consisted of me doing things that I wanted to do, which went like this: wake up in the morning and run, go and eat breakfast, go to the spa, go and eat lunch, go to the spa, watch a movie, go to the spa, go to dinner, go ride the aqueduct, you know, things like that. So that was like my whole birthday.
It's a great birthday. Was it a big birthday, like, you know?
Oh, it was my 43rd birthday,
okay.
If you must know.
All right. No, that's fine. I have 8 years on you, so.
That's okay.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about all of your stuff here. And the first I wanted to hit was, and by the way, I knew The Incredibles was your favorite.
Okay.
It's my favorite. It's my favorite film other than to say that I have a very fond affection of Jungle Book and Mary Poppins because those are the very first two movies I ever saw as a kid.
You say Mary Poppins. Here's a funny story about when I was a kid. You know, there are things that you think back that you never forgot to mention on the podcast or really didn't come up, right? So one of the things that I used to always do is now when I was a kid, right, there was no DVRs. There wasn't – VHS was something that was just first coming into homes and it was still 3/4-inch tapes. It wasn't even – what people think of when they think of a VHS tape. And So basically, you didn't have them. You had to watch things when they were on television. You were a slave to the television if you're watching them. And one of my favorite things was that during the holiday season, they would always have scheduled times for things like Mary Poppins and Willy Wonka and stuff like that. And my mom had this system where I'd take a card table and she'd help me set up a sheet over it. So I kind of sort of had like a little tent and it was in front of the TV. And I'd get to sit in there with popcorn and a pillow and hang out. And like I was in a tent watching the movie. It was like awesome.
Gosh, that is awesome. Oh, man. That's a great, great memory. So let's talk a little bit about the Disney Film Project podcast, which now I have gotten to listen to three of the episodes.
Awesome.
Why don't you tell our listeners what that's all about?
So basically, it actually goes back to 2009, is I was researching something about holiday films and shorts and stuff like that for Disney. And I came across Ryan's site, which was the DisneyFilmProject.com website /blog, where he talks about the movies. And I was very, very intrigued by his whole concept of watching all the movies, the shorts and movies in chronological order. And so we got to talking and we became pretty close friends. And, you know, he would put up a blog and I would take, you know, like the eight, you know, if it was a short, I'd take like the 8 or 9 minutes to go watch it on YouTube, because all the Disney shorts are on YouTube for people who didn't know that. And I would watch the thing, and then I would talk about it, comment about it. And then I started, you know, as more people started to get on Twitter, I started to talk about, you know, tweet his stuff out on Twitter and stuff like that. And there was just a point where we were talking where I said, you know what, you and I should get together and we should do a show. It just seemed right, and we had a lot to say about movies, and it just felt like right. But it sat for a little bit, right, for a couple months, because this was like in the beginning of 2010. And then what happened was, it's like we would start talking more about movies, and then Brianna kind of started talking with the two of us about movies. You know, it started with a night when they watched on TCM, they watched Errol Flynn's Robin Hood movie, and which is her like favorite all time movie outside of Disney movies, and she would just start talking with us, and it was good. And it just seemed like that's late that summer, like Augusty time frame, Ryan and I said, you know what, let's do this. Okay. And Cheryl wanted to learn how to edit, so she was just originally going to be just our editor, and she wasn't actually going to talk on the show. So we kind of sort of felt we needed a female presence, and I said, well, you know, the perfect person to ask would be Brianna. And so I had never met her in person, but she was down that October of last year. Okay. And I went and met her, and I felt comfortable, so I talked to Ryan about her a little bit more, and he said, okay, well, why don't you just ask her? So then I was scheduled to go to a dinner with her at Tony's in Magic Kingdom, and so I actually asked her if she wanted to be on the podcast in Tony's in Magic Kingdom. Hmm. And she was like, yes, yeah.
She was
really
that?
Excited.
And yeah. she wasn't doing any other podcasts to date?
No, she wasn't, but she's, you know, she was very into it. She's, you know, acting is something she likes to do on the side. And, you know, of course, if she could turn it into a full-time career, by all means, I say all the time to her, you know, and, you know, and her and I have grown close, you know, we have like a father-daughter relationship. So.
Oh, fun. You guys do have a chemistry. Some of the episodes I know had really kind of took off for you and were a lot of fun, but we'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit here. You are also the chief technical officer at the Disney Driven Life.
Yeah, I am.
And I have to say, great job. That is a site that it does everything I think a site needs to do. It draws your eyes to the right things first. It makes everything available. How long did that take to do?
Well, that's an interesting story. So, I started talking with JL last January online, and then we met each other in May of last year, 2010, and it was because she showed up when I was I did Lou's original overnight podcast, the 24-hour one, okay, not the 40-hour one that he just recently did.
Yeah.
And I was there most of the time because I had a couple other things I had to attend to. And she showed up. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning that night, and everybody else was kind of sort of relaxing, and I was actually running the box. And so what I was doing was I was pulling random people in to spend some time with me, and she showed up, and then we were just on the box together for like an hour or so, answering all sorts of questions. I really don't remember it well to any box people who were listening. It was late, and I was really tired.
Oh, yeah.
And so what happened was, is we, you know, she wasn't moved down here yet to Florida, and so we agreed to, you know, get together when she did, which was a few months later, and we did. We went to Animal Kingdom, and we, you know, slowly became best friends, and then she said that she needed some help for the DDL, for her website, with the DDL blog, which I already knew about, and I had already mentioned to her about becoming a blogger at one point, but it didn't work out, because by the time I was, during that time was the time frame when Henry, which we haven't gotten to yet, but Henry asked me to go blog for touring plans.
Mm-hmm.
So I really didn't feel comfortable blog, like I didn't feel like I had the time to blog at two sites, so I just kind of dropped it. But she was looking for someone to do the technical stuff and fix some problems at the site, and it just kind of sort of that I got in there, and I started doing my thing, and I realized there were a lot of problems, so I said, well, this is a very nice way to do the site, but I'm going to make a site that looks exactly like this but works 10 times better.
Mm.
And that was one of my goals, so...
It's a great site. I don't know how many of our listeners have checked out the Disney Driven Life yet, but it really is. It's pleasing to the eye. You know where to go if you want to get specific author's blogs, if you want to run down the most current blogs, look at the most current comments, which I liked because I thought that's kind of what makes a site alive when you see that in the top left there. And as you mentioned, you're also a contributing blogger on occasion at touringplans.com, which certainly I've heard of that site before. Why don't you, what's that site all about and what are you doing there?
So, the touringplans.com website is the website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. Okay, it's the companion site is the best way to think of it. And, you know, the whole point of the unofficial guide is to help you get through the parks in a much more efficient manner. And the touring plans concept is something that Len Testa developed when he was in college, and it's morphed over time. But the idea is you can either use a pre-existing plan to get through the theme parks, or you can say, I want to ride these particular rides, and it'll tell you on a particular day, and it'll tell you the best order to ride them in based on historic data that they've collected. Hmm. And they have an app for your mobile phone called Lines that will help you get current wait times, and you can report wait times. And it's really like a game if you think about it, because you get like badges and rewards just like you would on like a Foursquare or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was actually, I actually beta tested the original Lines way back when, and I wrote a blog post on it at my personal blog. And that blog post was actually why Len asked me to come write for the site. So,
oh, okay. And you say you're kind of...
I mean, not Glenn, Henry, sorry.
Oh, Henry, okay.
Yeah.
And so you're you said occasionally you'll contribute there. What kinds of blogs do you contribute there?
Oh, I write... I've tried to do a weekly blog there, okay? But I say occasionally because sometimes I end up only doing two posts in a month instead of... And sometimes I do four or five posts in a month. It really depends.
Okay.
I write about all sort, whatever the next topic that it intrigues me is. I do a lot of writing about my running experiences.
Hmm.
One of the things that has just come about as me being part of the Disney community is that I became a runner. I was a very large and overweight gentleman several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I tipped the scales at about 320 pounds at one point in time.
Hmm.
And I have since I first took up walking, and then I got inspired watching some friends run in the Walt Disney World Half Marathon. And I said, you know what? This is something I think I'm going to try. Mm-hmm. And so I tried it, and I started doing it, and I hated it at first. But it kind of grew on me, and now a year and a half or more later, I'm here and I'm running, and I'm going to be running in the Walt Disney World Half Marathon in January.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, so it's and I weigh about 200 pounds now.
Oh wow, that's fantastic. So. You know, I am on sort of an opposite trail. I loved running. I absolutely loved it. I ran in 2 marathons, and now I can't run. My knee, I have a knee issue. Fortunately, I can still bike and I walk, but running is kind of out.
Oh, sorry to hear that. I actually because of my age, I fear that constantly. So.
Yeah. Well, just and if I could go back, I would say there are certain warm-ups and things you can do to strengthen muscles around your knees, because a lot of people end up with knee trouble. And if you can spend, you could spend 10 minutes a night, I know it's easier said than done, strengthening those muscles and avoid a lot of knee issues.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, I used to play sports when I was younger, so I'm and I would play the defensive position. So they're ones where you pretty much your legs end up pretty well developed to begin with. So
yeah, okay.
So I was born in New York City, and I spent much of my childhood growing up on Long Island. You know, so when I was younger, my parents, they took a trip to Mexico. I don't really know why. I was, just about 3 years old, give or take, I think, it's hard to remember. And, they, on their way back, they took a trip to see my mother's sister, my aunt, over in California. They lived in, the La Crescenta Valley. And, that's not too far from Disneyland at the time. So what happened was is we went and we stayed at Disneyland. We stayed in the old Disneyland hotel. And I remember that there was just this morning where my mom and my aunt were both sick. And it turns out that, you know, several months later, my brother was born and my cousin was born.
Ah. Okay. Yeah, you didn't figure it out for a while yet either, did you?
And no, no, I didn't really understand the connection until many years later. you know, so there's that, and you know, there was a time period in there where, you know, it was that right year, when my brother was, I was born in 1968, my brother was born in 71, and you know, based on when he was, you know, conceived and everything like that, my dad took me, you know, before he was born to Disney World when he went to Florida as part of a business trip. And so I went there the first year. I don't remember much of it at all. You know, it was just Magic Kingdom back then, and they say you shouldn't bring young kids. Well, I can tell you I don't remember that much of it other than what I've told you between these two things. I remember going and being there and Castle, and that's about the end of it.
Well, so obviously at some point you got the, you know, you got the, what's the word I'm looking for? You got very interested in Disney. When did that happen?
Well, I blame my parents and my grandparents. my mom is a Disney fan, you know, her favorite character is Tigger, you know, she, and all that stuff. And she, you know, she has all sorts of Disney stuff like I do. She wears Disney shirts, same as me. And my grandparents like Disney too, but they're Disneyland people, so they would go to California to visit their other daughter, and they'd take us with us. So there were a few more times where I went to Disneyland. I remember the trips. I remember driving around. We did all of California back then. You know, I'd be there for like a month with them. It was that type of trip. And back then, schools didn't really care if parents kept kids out of school, like they do now. Mm-hmm. And, but basically from that one time that I was at Disney World, I hadn't gone again until about a little bit after Epcot opening. And that was the other trip that I was talking about where my brother and I were jumping in front of the water spouts and stuff like that. So.
Yep.
Here's the thing, right, is I am a little bit OCD. my friends who, if they're listening, are probably laughing right now because I'm actually a lot of bit OCD. And what happens is that I kind of get focused on the small details because that's what really happens. That's where my focus points and problem points are. It's not on the big picture. It's on the little tiny things that don't necessarily matter. And so what'll happen is, like, I was the first few podcast episodes I was having. Cheryl will give me what we go through for the podcast is we record, right? And we spend some time, and like you know from being a podcaster, there's retakes and you retries and stuff like that. And then Cheryl has to go through, because she's the producer and editor, she has to go through and put it all back together into something that sounds, you know, reasonably well. Mm-hmm. And she then gives these things to me, and I listen to them, you know, whenever I can. And I would mark bad places on the podcast and have her re-edit them. And, you know, there was some contention because some things, you know, like if there was like the littlest noise in the background, I'd be like, can you get rid of that? Can you do this? And it was just too much focusing on the wrong things. And the first few podcasts, I would have like 50 pictures of time, you know, because what I do is I would listen on my iPad, on my iPhone. Mm-hmm. And what I would do is I take a screenshot every time there was a bad spot. And so I'd be going through the bad spots with her and I'd go, okay, this time index. And I'd be driving her nuts. And I realized, and over time, that it's actually a bit more natural to just leave that stuff in and get rid of the really bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or get rid of gaps, you know, things like that. That's what really matters. As long as you get your content and your point across, I think people will be fine with the mess ups. In fact, if not, find them funny.
I'm thinking right now, I was just thinking I'm going to have to really carefully edit this podcast when I'm done. Make sure you are okay with it.
No, don't do that. You'd probably kill me.
Okay, I won't. I won't get your approval.
So there are a lot. So, you know, after we record, there's always like a moment where you kind of sort of have this quick conversation is, you know, you eat with each other, you know, how do you think that went? How do you think, you know, and that kind of thing. And it's really funny because what we've seen is when people listen to things is usually the podcasts that do really well are the ones where we don't think we did so well. And the ones that are, you know, don't necessarily do as well are the ones where we think we nailed it. But then there are ones that you're sitting there and you're reviewing this movie that you so hate. Okay, and it's the moments that occur in the podcast are fantastically magical, and I will specifically go to the Beverly Hills Chihuahua episode, which none of us, I mean, we didn't, you know, it wasn't completely hated, but it was not liked by us as a greatly, especially the second one, which is one of the most god awful movies on the planet.
Oh boy.
And we went through it, and it was just like we were clicking and we were on and everybody was in there, and even though it was a movie we all knew we hated, we were like talking about it, and I was doing my thing, giving the background and the history on things, and it just was very funny and very fun to do that episode despite it being a horrible movie. And and then there's other things where somebody likes a movie and other people hate a movie. And those are also funny moments. Because what happened is we had the prom episode, and Ryan and I and Cheryl really hated prom, and Brianna loves prom, okay? And so she kind of sort of got beat up on that episode. But then comes, like, the Country Bears episode, which is a movie Ryan and Cheryl like, but Brianna and I didn't like. And there are points in that where you really see how close Brianna and my friendship are, because there are things in there that people would probably swear are rehearsed, and they're just not. It's just us being us. And it's a lot of fun.
You can see that chemistry there, and I think that's something that comes with time, but yeah, you guys really have a good chemistry. Now, if you're going to have more fun in reviewing bad movies, have you reviewed The Black Hole yet?
We have not, so I actually like The Black Hole, and I suspect we suspect that that will be the movie that I get beat up on.
Oh, you will. That movie, well, you know, you could you have to keep it in mind of when it came out, but the ending of that movie, and I don't want to throw anything away, is just so horrible. I'm sorry, but it was just weird.
I know, but that's because it's a remake of Forbidden Planet.
Yeah, right.
It's a movie that I like, so, you know, same thing.
Have there been any people in your life, obviously Walt has inspired all of us, have there been people other than that who have really inspired you to chase your dreams?
Why do I remember this being one that I said was hard for me when I wrote the answers to you for?
Yeah,
you
did. I think, as a matter of fact, I don't know that it's in the interview.
Oh, maybe because I just didn't have a good answer. So I have things that I know were turning points in my life, but I wasn't sure if you meant I wasn't sure if you meant Disney people or if you meant just people in general.
Anyone.
So. I have things that I think have really helped, moments that really helped me in my life. This is going to sound weird. So when I was in kindergarten, I'm going to go to kindergarten. Kids were allowed to bring toys into school back then. Now kids can't carry anything within the school other than, you know, their lunch and their backpack. But back then you were allowed to bring toys. I would always bring my $6 Million Man toy in. I know I'm dating myself again, but let me just continue. And back then, teachers were allowed to punish you. I mean, like, really punish you. Now they have to make happy-go-lucky with every kid, right? Mm-hmm. And my teacher took it away from me and held it hostage until the end of the school year to teach me a lesson. And my mother allowed it. Mm. You know, she called my mother and said, just keep it in the drawer and you'll give it back to him. So that was the deal they made. And it just – I think it helped me understand that, you know, consequences of – actions. Mm-hmm. Right? And that, so, kind of stuck with me. And I know people are thinking that's like just weird to mention, but it's, these are the things. I really, my 12th grade English teacher was the woman who taught me to write. And I felt and understand writing, not just and become interested in it, because I remember starting that school year and I didn't want to have anything to do with English. I just, you know, it's your senior and you just want to get out of there. Mm-hmm. And I remember missing and hating having to leave that class of all classes. And it's English and I'm a computer person. Okay. So you have to take those kind of things into consideration. And it was because of that. And, I had another writing inspiration as well, but it was early on and it made me but between the two events, the important thing when you're a writer is you have to find your voice, right? Mm-hmm. And that doesn't always necessarily come naturally to people, okay? But if you've ever read my stuff, I'm very good at giving information and technical information, but a lot of times I try and write how I speak, because while there's all these rules that they teach you in school about grammar, guess what? They only matter to school. They don't matter for real writing. Mm-hmm. Okay, and there's a lot of people who are going, oh no, you're completely wrong. Well, guess what? I'm completely right, because what matters is that you get your point across.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, above all else, you could be the most grammatically correct, punctually accurate person who writes on the planet, but if you don't get your point across at the end of three paragraphs, you fail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's critical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so you know, I had my English teacher taught me, you know, to like writing. I had my rabbi, oddly enough, from when I was a child, he in religious school, he had this midrash class, and that got me interested in how to tell a story. Okay, not necessarily writing, but a midrash is you take a story in the Bible, mm-hmm. and you write it. You write like a side story for it, or you rewrite it. You tell it in a different way.
Huh.
Okay. And to give you an example, he would write – he's a very famous rabbi, by the way, Rabbi Mark Gelman. And he writes these midrash stories, and it's like, you know, how did the hamburger get its name, right? And that's a story about the Garden of Eden and the animals and how they're each named and stuff like that. You know, that kind of thing.
Huh.
And you know, on and on and on. he would write things like that. And that's the time. And so it's about the story and the telling of the tale. And so you go from there and then you get interested in writing. And then when I went to college, you know, I was a computer science major and I didn't know necessarily what I was going to do. And I was interested in special effects. And I was also interested in movies. And I went and I minored in film. Because it just seemed to be a thing to do. And to me, they fit together, even though at the time they were first fitting together. It just seemed to be the right thing to – the right direction to go for me. And I actually wrote a term paper in school about how you take computer special effects and merge them with online gaming rooms, which back then were called MUDs and MOODs. And I think they still have MUDs and MOODs, but like most people just do online gaming now. Mm-hmm. And that's what you get now, right, is you get games like World of Warcraft and stuff like that, which is exactly what I talked about in my term paper, is how you take, you know, you take mountains and you draw them and then you'd move a character through them. And I discussed all that well before it even became a reality. So, you know, I had vision. I didn't make any money off of it, of course.
Well, I can tell you, you are very good at communicating. And it's something that I'll have to admit, I'm still trying to find that voice, like you said, but you do very good at it.
Thank you.
What would be the best absolute dream come true outcome of all your efforts?
Wow. I suspect I know what I said. You asked me this question before. Years ago, right, I would notice how disjointed the Disney community was. Mm-hmm. And it always bothered me because I thought that these are people who need to be more connected with each other. Mm-hmm. And I really feel that in the last 18 months, the Disney community has taken leaps and bounds forward well beyond other communities in that area. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've gone from people who would only meet once or twice a year in various locations, including Disneyland and Disney World, and now we all talk all the time online. We plan events together online on Facebook, on Plancast. We're on Twitter talking. We're on Facebook talking. And it's amazing. I mean, most of my friends are people who I've met from that community, for one way or the other. One of my best friends, she's someone who answered my blog post and told me I inspired her to move to Florida, right?
Oh, wow.
And that's Shelley Curran, in case you're wondering. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, and that's how we met, was through my blog post, of all things. And it's that growing closeness and feeling not like a group of people who are strangers and just happen to have a thing in common, to people who really truly have something in common and are sharing it better.
You're right on. There's something about it, and I agree. There, you know, because of blogs, because of podcasts and other efforts, that there is a growing community. My brother and I, who are both Disney fanatics, we had lunch today, and I said, you know, if we had an Occupy Disney, it would be, yeah, we're here, and we're glad to spend our money to come in and be with each other rather than complaining about people having a lot of money. And
let's go see how many people we could fit on Space Mountain.
Yeah. We tried to do that, by the way. It didn't work out, but we used, the TTA, the People Mover. When we were down there last time, we thought, let's put out a thing out there and one person showed up besides us, so it didn't really work out.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's all right. We didn't expect much. But the other absolute best dream kind of thing you mentioned in your interview was about having a movie night at...
Oh, yes. And I completely forgot about that. So, like, you know, we do a movie podcast. And my thought was that I always see these movie screens that they have at the resort set up at night.
Yep.
And I would love to be able to co-op one of those and kind of sort of host the movie that night as the meat for the podcast.
What would you do for a movie?
What would I do for a movie? Well, I don't know. It's hard to say. I would want to know about it ahead of time because I'd want to have facts to give out to people, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I probably, if I wasn't you know, I would want to pick something early. I think people are very, you know, the Disney community when it comes to movies really likes the classics.
Yeah.
Right? And I would probably want to do like Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, or Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be my picks, just because I think it's appropriate and it's they're good movies to talk about.
I would do Mary Poppins.
Ah, yes. Mary Poppins would be very good.
I can't...
And you know what, though? It would have to be an autumn night with a good breeze for Mary Poppins.
Oh, sure. Especially when they're flying in, right?
Yes.
Well, let's give folks your website info. Where can
sure.
we especially follow the Film Project podcast?
Sure. So the Disney Film Project podcast can be found at DisneyFilmProject.com. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you can also follow us on Twitter. We're Diz Film Project on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Stitcher Radio and on and on. We have an email address, DizFilmProject@gmail.com.
And
I have other things. Yes,
oh, please.
Sorry. Let's see. So, you can also find me on Twitter at tperlmutter. That's tperlmutter. And you can also find me on Facebook. You can find my blogs at touringplans.com, which is or just blog.touringplans.com if you want to fast track there. Mm-hmm. And just look for blogs by Todd. And that's pretty much everything.
Okay. Well, thanks again for being on the show. Sorry for that little interruption, and we look forward to following your podcast and your work at Touring Plans.
Thanks.